Welcome to eHealth Talk, a podcast from Health Informatics New Zealand and hosted by me, editor of eHealth News, Rebecca Macbeth. This podcast provides a regular roundup of news and views from across New Zealand's data and digital health sector. Please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Kia ora and welcome to eHealth Talk NZ. Thanks to the College of Nurses Aotearoa for sponsoring this podcast episode, which is the second of four collaborations we're doing throughout the year. Today, I'm joined by Chair of Nurse Practitioners NZ, a division of the College of Nurses, Sandra Oster, and Professor at Massey University School of Nursing and Executive Director of the College of Nurses, Jenny Carrier. So welcome on the show to both of you. We're going to be speaking today about the online resources you've recently developed on preparation and education to become a nurse practitioner. Can you just start by telling our audience what a nurse practitioner is and how the role is different from a registered nurse?
Kia ora, everyone. Nurse practitioners are expert nurses who have completed a minimum of a Master's of Nursing in an approved program. They have been assessed and confirmed by the Nursing Council of New Zealand into a new scope of practice. So a nurse practitioner is a new scope of practice. They have the expertise and authority to complete advanced health assessment, diagnose disease, and to prescribe treatments for any patients in their care. They work independently and within healthcare teams. And the nurse practitioner model of care blends the holistic nursing model of care with the medical model of care to provide comprehensive care that the evidence really shows improves patient outcomes. All nurse practitioners are registered nurses, but at a new scope of practice.
Interesting. And Sandra, Nurse Practitioners NZ with the College of Nurses has recently launched a set of e-resources online, which outline the process involved in a registered nurse becoming a nurse practitioner in New Zealand. Can you just tell us how these were developed and what topics they cover?
There's been an evolution of preparation for nurse practitioners over the past 21 years that there have been nurse practitioners registered in New Zealand. The information provided in the e-resources is aimed at nurses who are preparing for the nurse practitioner role. We also wanted to have information for their employers and supervisors, as well as their whānau, and those that will be involved in their training and throughout their master's program. There are streams on the website for the nurse practitioner candidate, their supervisor or clinical mentor, and their service or practice manager, as well as their whānau and family. We felt it important to address the key responsibilities for each of these during the candidate's journey so that everyone would be on board. We also address the clinical readiness and development and academic process, including preparing ourselves mentally for the stress and effort that it requires to complete the training, as well as the funding component in the process.
And Jenny, why are resources like this needed and how do you envisage them being used?
It's very surprising, but the nurse practitioner role was launched in New Zealand in 2001. And we have had the potential for nurses to become nurse practitioners now then for more than 20 years. But a lot of our research and our personal interactions with people at all levels of the health system shows that despite that 20-year history, there's still an enormous amount of ignorance, even among nurses themselves, as to the process and journey required to become a nurse practitioner. It's also a stressful and demanding journey, and so we aim to try and take away as much of the uncertainty as possible. And as Sandra has just outlined, by making these resources pertinent to both the candidate themselves, their family, potential employers, potential supervisors, it means that everybody involved in becoming or supporting someone to become a nurse practitioner can get up-to-date, accurate information from one place. And we really hope that as a resource, it'll become widely known and widely utilised. And go a long way, we hope, to eliminating a number of the myths and misunderstandings that are still prevalent after 20 years.
Yeah, it's interesting that it does take that kind of different approach, aiming at the candidate, the clinical mentor or supervisor, the manager or employer, and the family or whānau. I think you've described sort of why you've taken that approach, but what is all their roles on the journey with the nurse practitioner, and how do you think they might use the resources as well?
For the candidate, it's simply knowing the particular things they have to do, they have to complete, how they have to link their practice environment to their academic journey. For the family, I think it's understanding the enormity of what that nurse is taking on, and being able to support them through what is a very stressful and demanding journey. For the supervisors and mentors, there is some quite technical information about what is required for them to do that role appropriately. And most importantly, I think employers are still very, very unaware of what a nurse practitioner offers, what their full scope of practice allows them to do, their ability to generate income in the same way that a general practitioner does in the general practice environment. There's lots of kind of barriers to employment based on ignorance. And so we are hoping to make employers much more welcoming and supportive of nurse practitioner candidates because they know what they're getting at the end.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you have found that as an issue in terms of the encouragement of employers to embark on this journey, because I think we've all been hearing plenty in the news about issues around shortages of nurses, of GP, I mean, across the scope. So how does sort of the nurse practitioner role fit into sort of the wider workforce issues that we're hearing about?
Sure. The nurse practitioner really is situated in a place that allows them to have a broader view across the health system. They're able to flex their nursing skills along with their medical skills to be really quite flexible in filling those gaps in the healthcare system. And that's really why the nurse practitioner role was developed from the outset. The time that's required for the final preparation of a nurse practitioner does require a bit of space and time in the clinical setting for that nurse to have access to the clinical environment, to patients, to mentors, to the support that they need. And that can be challenging when the health system is so stressed. But the gain that people will have in developing a nurse practitioner who's able to fully support the care of patients in the environment really is the outcome that everybody wants. And personally, I've been getting many, many more inquiries from practices and employers wanting nurse practitioners.
Oh, well, that's great to hear.
But you asked the question about workforce shortages, and I think that's a pertinent question. What I think Sandra's outlining is that the range of ability and the distribution of nurses across rural areas. Nurses are the only workforce that is still well distributed in New Zealand, and so when they become nurse practitioners, particularly in rural areas, they provide an absolutely vital level of service, which is currently often absent.
Yeah, and it certainly fits with the direction of the health reforms, doesn't it, in terms of people being able to be cared for closer to home and that sort of more holistic point of view. So the actual nurse practitioner practicum is the final year, from what I understand, but these resources cover 3 years. Why have you done that?
Because it's very important that the candidate, right from the beginning, has a clear direction of travel in mind. So they need to select carefully where they are working clinically so that it supports their learning experiences during the 3 years and allows them to align their academic work with their clinical practice, which is absolutely essential. It's quite difficult for someone to decide where they're going to be a nurse practitioner and in what particular area of practice later in the journey. And so there are many decisions about choosing their education provider, ensuring that the practice environment that they work in is supportive of their journey, And so it's important that actually they have this information as early in the process as possible, because the master's degree is often done over 4 years, because many of the students study, although it's a two-year degree, many of the students complete that master's degree over a four-year period.
The journey from expert RN to NP does occur over a period of years. And it's that period of time over those years that nurse is really looking at their practice and developing both their clinical expertise as well as their leadership and policy and advocacy skills, which are all important aspects of a nurse practitioner. This is developed along with the academic work that's part of that Master's of Nursing program. And that includes health assessment and clinical decision-making, advanced pathophysiology, advanced pharmacology, and other coursework supporting evidence-based clinical decision-making. So the 12 to 18 months prior to that final practicum year are really crucial for the nurse and their employer to be ready for that nurse to change that scope of practice and to develop that new role. And it is something that requires a great deal of pre-planning on the part of both the nurse and their employer. The final practicum year includes a minimum of 500 hours of supervised clinical practice with another nurse practitioner or senior doctor who is mentoring the nurse on that journey. And then the final aspect that we talk about on that website is the first year practice once the nurse has registered in the nurse practitioner scope of practice. Any new practitioner is benefited by working with mentors and people around them that are available to answer questions and support them on that first year of the journey. So we wanted the resources to reflect the preparation up till the practicum and then the first year of practice.
Yeah, it's interesting that the resources do include a number of short videos with two nurse practitioners. Can you tell our listeners more about them and why is it important to share their insights and learnings?
Well, we wanted those viewing the resources to hear the voice of people who've been through the journey. And so those nurse practitioners who are there have both been through the journey in the last 3 or 4 years. And they have great insights into the essential steps and processes that they went through that helped them to succeed and achieve that success in that practicum year and their first year of practice.
Yeah, it's interesting in terms of the not only the clinical role, like you said, the learning that, but also the way that they operate within the practice, if they stay within the same practice, in terms of perhaps their relationship with the other clinicians and what they might be having to ask fellow nurses to do that previously they would have been doing, things like that. Is that something that people need to think about or learn about as well?
I think that's something that is very big in the first year of practice as a nurse practitioner. When they realise that they are holding a different position, they are making a different level of decision making, they're relating differently to some other aspects of the health system, it's a huge learning curve for people. And I think as much as they can be exposed to other nurse practitioners is really important.
It's obviously difficult, it's stressful, they go through it, but what are the rewards that you find that people talk about amongst nurse practitioners once they've gone through it and achieved the goal?
I think every nurse practitioner, and I'm one, finds it amazing to be actually living and doing the things that they dreamed about when they started on their NP journey, being able to interact with their patients and family members of patients, providing the health care that they want to deliver, and to deliver it in a way that is somewhat different than the traditional medical model that really seeks to see the patient and their family as a holistic piece and understand that health is affected by lots of aspects of life, and to work with that patient and their fauna to change their health over time.
I think Sandra's described that beautifully, and I really can't add to it, except to say that many registered nurses experience considerable frustration practicing within a highly medicalized model of care. And so when they become nurse practitioners, they have a much greater capacity to alter the way care is delivered. because they are responsible for the full episode of care.
You talked about nurses being spread out across the country. Is it the same with nurse practitioners? Do they tend to be spread across the country, or is there any kind of urban or rural divide? Or just wondering in terms of, you know, the health system's aim to improve equity, if sort of nurse practitioners have a role in that perhaps?
I think absolutely one of our goals is to produce as many Māori and Pacifica nurse practitioners as possible. They are desperately needed by their own communities, and particularly in rural areas. Historically, some of our earliest nurse practitioners did tend to be urban and hospital-based because they were the earliest to provide support for the development. But more and more, we are seeing that change to them becoming primary health care, aged care, rural, small town, exactly where the services are needed, but it's an evolving pattern.
I agree, Jenny. And we did see lots of nurse practitioners in urban areas. It really has now expanded. And a recent editorial that was published in Nursing Praxis, which is a journal here in New Zealand, we looked at the number of nurse practitioners per 100,000 population. And interestingly, mid-central, the West Coast, and the Wairarapa have the highest number of nurse practitioners per 100,000 population. Auckland is down towards the bottom.
Wow, that's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah, it's such a such an interesting and sort of, yeah, as we look to different models of care, I can just see so many opportunities for these roles as well.
Comment on what Sandra's just said, because I think it sparks a really interesting comment, which is the role develops most strongly where there is clear and effective leadership to support the development of the role. And that's why we see pockets of particularly, you know, ahead of the average development of nurse practitioners.
Because those areas have people in them who are really advocating. So if a nurse is thinking of becoming a nurse practitioner, they might be listening and feeling inspired. Where should they start in terms of engaging with these resources and any other organisations?
Well, I think personally it's particularly important that they have an early relationship with Nurse Practitioners of New Zealand and of course, the college, because the really, really important thing, resources are great, but so is connecting with other people who are closely involved and well-informed. So early on, I think they should connect with the college and NPNZ. And they need to start talking with their employing organisation and considering very early on whether this is going to be a place where they're going to be able to develop in the role. And if not, they need to move at that point and start establishing an appropriate environment in which to begin the journey.
Absolutely. I completely agree, Jenny. And along with that, they need to look at their particular practice skills and ask themselves questions about where they've developed their clinical expertise. Are they ready for independent clinical decision-making and leadership in meeting the healthcare needs of the clients in their area? They need to look at the gaps and see how they could be prepared to fill them as an NP. And then they need to develop their clinical toolkit and become expert in the health needs of their population. The academic preparation over the master's program assists them with that development, but it is something that they need to actively engage with. And as Jenny said, early on having conversations with their employer to see whether there is going to be support to develop a nurse practitioner role in that area is essential. And if the support isn't there, then it really does require thinking bigger about where they might wish to work. And as Jenny said, NPNZ has many nurse practitioner groups that are meeting across the country in our peer groups, and there are nurse practitioners who are absolutely willing to start developing relationships and conversations with people who are looking to become nurse practitioners.
That networking aspect's always so important, isn't it? Especially, I think we've all come to realise that, especially during the recent years, how important it is to have those personal relationships. In terms of becoming a nurse practitioner, do they need to be a registered nurse for any period of time, or is there any other things they need to think about before they embark on it?
We say that they should have had at least 4 years in clinical practice, ideally. However, it would be true to say that a number of nurses will start the master's degree earlier than that because they're so keen to get going. But because they often spend 4 to 5 years both practicing and studying, by the time they come to apply for authorisation as a nurse practitioner, they will have had at least 4 years of clinical practice. And often quite a bit more.
It is the case that they often have done other things earlier in their nursing career as well, and nurse practitioners often have been nurses for a longer period of time. But increasingly, nurses, when they're looking at their career and looking at what they wish to do with their nursing career, they're quite eager to start on that journey early on in their nursing career. The key is for them to develop those clinical skills in their area of practice to understand where they want to become the clinical expert. Because at the end of the NP journey, you need to be able to function independently as an authorized healthcare practitioner.
Yeah, I had a good look at the online resources, thought they're really, really engaging. Why was it important to have them available digitally, and how do you see them evolving in the future? I presume it's not a sort of static resource set.
It's obviously about the target audience, and people now pretty much use digital resources for everything. Paper-based resources, I think, is pretty last century at this point. And so it also enables us to keep those resources up to date, to easily change them. Once you release something on paper into the environment, it risks becoming out of date, and you have no control over its relevance. So we see these resources as being something that will have to be constantly reviewed and changed as various things change, if and when they do.
Yeah, there's a constant, really, change of both what's required and new information on the horizon, and having things available digitally allows that very quick updating and more information to be put there when it's needed.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jenny and Sandra. What an insightful discussion. I hope it's been helpful for listeners. If you do want to find out more about the online resources, you can go to practitioner.nurse.org.nz. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to eHealth Talk. Be sure to subscribe and share with your colleagues and friends. eHealth Talk, eHealth News, and the eHealth TV webinar series are supported by Health Informatics New Zealand. See hins.org.nz for more information and become a member starting at just $17 a month. We also have affordable organisational membership options now for both our industry partners and healthcare providers.